Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being here and welcome to LH1 Live. It is February 2026, which is bananas. And so just kind of a follow-up. So in January and like last January, one of my biggest questions was what topics do y'all want to hear and what information do we want to make sure that we're sharing with our community, but also just getting ideas and feedback and kind of sharing that with each other. So I've got a ton of good topic ideas. I think I'm pretty much slotted out for the next 6 months. So this month's topic is actually talking all about the white cane, orientation, mobility, navigation, and all of that. So it's definitely going to be a super fun conversation. And so I'm going to kind of lean on one of our regional leaders, Brian Haas, to kind of come in and share his story to kind of walk us through his white cane journey. And I think one of the biggest things I want to share here is that LH1 vision is different. And it's completely personal, and the white cane is completely personal. And there are so many different aspects to it, whether it's safety and awareness, but also it's kind of you have to embrace a white cane when it's most appropriate for you, but also taking into those considerations for safety and awareness. Those are super key. So we kind of thought about this topic and what would be best. And I think one of the biggest things that we have so much value to is just hearing from different stories from our own people, right here in our community. And so I think there's a lot of things to be able to share. I do want to give a chance for Brian to share a story first, and then we'll obviously open it up for the people to kind of share their tips and tricks, and just the things that they've kind of encountered and faced and how they've handled it. And then for opportunity for people to kind of ask questions too. From there, we'll, like typical protocol, we will kind of keep it to an hour recorded. I will turn off the recording. But do you want to kind of make sure other things that I did here is kind of talking about like news and topics. So we'll kind of cover a couple of news and topics as well at the bottom of the hour, and then share with you the other calls coming up in February. So it's kind of how we'll kind of navigate the call this month. And of course, announce the next month's topic at the end of the call as well. So this drum roll. But without further ado, Brian, thank you so much for being here and kind of sharing with us your, I'll guess, LH1 journey, but like most importantly, as we're kind of leaning on your cane journey and kind of where you are and where you're going and especially how you're getting there. So if I can throw it to you to kind of share all of that.
Okay, thanks, Jessica. And sorry for my tardiness, and thank you for my reminder. It kind of slipped my mind. I apologize. You get involved in your evening activities, and yeah, things happen. But let me start by saying I was affected at age 19. It's been about, 20 years or more now. And in the beginning, got the orientation and mobility skills training and was given white canes. I've had a few that have, gotten lost or whatever the case might be and have replaced. And they spent many years tucked away in a box, a drawer, a closet, whatever the case might be. And I just got to a point where, I saw it where it could be a helpful tool. And you hear other people in the community, them using it. They might say something that kind of, resonates with you. Probably got to a point in life where, didn't care as much. One of our leaders, Maria Hayes, Johnson, I believe her last name is, if I have it right. She said something on one call, and it really resonated with me. And I've told her this, and I think a doctor told her was, "The white cane, it's not about you." And just that short statement, it really stuck with me, because I thought if I carry a white cane, it identifies me, and it doesn't. It's a tool. I see it for other people. It's made life a little easier when I do use it, and I choose when I want to use it. If I'm in my familiar settings that are safe, my office, at work, my home, inside my home, in my yard, I don't use it. that's my choice. But if I'm out in public, people know what a white cane is. They don't know exactly what my vision is, whether it's, I can see somewhat or not see at all. But people understand what a white cane is. And I can also spend my time looking more confident and also having my head up rather than looking down at the ground, making sure I'm not going to trip over something or run into something. The white cane hopefully can catch it before I do. So I found it as a very useful tool. It saves a lot of time of explaining to people. For instance, if I'm looking at something really close in the store because I want to see what the item is, or needing some help with the credit card machine, I don't have to explain a story about it if I'm out and about and need some assistance. So, I've found it as a very useful and helpful tool. Probably in the beginning of 2025, I told myself I was going to, start using it more often. And I've had some good support, family, friends, and so forth, who have been very, supportive. And you got to realize that there's times where, I've run out of the house, gotten in the car, and I'm like, and we're down the road, and I'm like, oh man, I forgot my cane. But, I just moved on, and I'm like, okay, I'll be all right. I'm with somebody I trust. I've done it before. I'll bring it next time. So, not to be hard on yourself, but, yeah, it's okay. There's going to be times you're going to forget it. There's going to be times that you're going to use it or not use it. You'll get there. When you get there, you have a community to lean on, some who are at different stages of using it or not using it, and why they may and why they may not use it. It took me just to get to that point in time, of realizing that it's a helpful tool and it's for safety. And it's, the big thing is that helped me, it's not about me, it's about other people. So they can know that I'm blind, I need a little extra help, and I don't have to explain it to them. So, Jessica, you have any follow-up questions or anything like that, or anything that I could elaborate on?
I think one of the biggest things too, and I think that's so important for everyone here, is that like everyone's vision with LA Twins a little different too. So like kind of acknowledging that like you're using it now but didn't use it later, and like all of that's still okay. Like I know there's some people on the call that don't use a cane at all, and that's also totally okay. Whereas some people on the call tonight are also like have to use a cane. And I think just acknowledging that it's completely personal and it's what you're doing, what's best for you. And there's not kind of like a one size fits all, kind of giving like when you should use the cane, and you just shared that you did what's best for you. I think one of the things too that I wanted to highlight, you had talked about like being kind of self-conscious if you're doing it correctly. And then realizing that like not every like no one knows. No one actually probably knows proper cane etiquette or technique and all of that. And so it's kind of like kind of were able to shake off that self-consciousness because no one probably actually knows around you, right?
You're right. Yeah, I think I've mentioned that on another call, and it's good to bring up here is, I mentioned I was taught those orientation and mobility skills by a specialist who knows all that. And that was probably one of my hiccups that I didn't use it at other times before now.
Tune that by training at 7 p.m.
Sorry about that. My computer's going off and speaking to us. And the that was another thing that I was a little self-conscious about is I got those skills and I was taught the proper way to use it. But people who are when you're out and about, they don't know proper cane technique. They don't know that you should be going left or right and things like that. So sometimes I'm just holding it, or I might be walking. Just normally, but I'm holding it. And So it's not a big deal. I've realized to really worry about because not everyone knows proper cane technique, and nobody's going to say much of anything to you. It is interesting. I've noticed where there's some people you're walking along and they get out of your way, and there's other people who don't. And some people in the public just may not realize what a white cane is and what it's used for. So it's interesting to see that out and about. Some people like jump over the white cane, thinking it's, and jump out of the way really quick. That's interesting. But I think if you're not at that point in time and you're being safe and with someone who's keeping you safe, when you're out and about, that's fine. It's a tool that we have available to us, and if you need it when you're ready, it's there.
Hey, this is Tess from Bellingham, Washington, up north of Seattle.
Hi, Tess.
And when I first, so I've been using the white cane, I guess about I learned how to use it 6 to 8 months, and like, sorry, I didn't get the name of the speaker.
I'm Brian. Good to meet
Brian.
you, Tess.
So yeah, when Brian was talking about, you sometimes use it and sometimes you don't, and I'm, pretty close to, I was only about 2 years since my onset. So I guess you could say I kind of started using it right away. But when I was just really surprised by what you can learn with the mobility training, and how important that can be. So to say, yes, nobody else knows that's around you knows how to, whether you're doing it right or not. So it's not so much about that, but there's some important things to learn to make sure you can get the most out of it. And another thing, one thing, a thing they remember them saying in mobility training that was helpful was how to show people how to help you. So, like you say, it's good to be with somebody you trust, but like my husband and I were walking along, and there was these irregular steps. It was like one every 20 feet, and missed one, and he had to catch me, and I still hurt my knee. But it's just like some of those things you kind of have to remind people. And
Yeah. Tess, I think what you said is so important, and Brian and I definitely didn't mean to minimize it, is that getting an orientation mobility and having the proper training is 1,000% super important. And I think that's just kind of done along the journey, but that's definitely something that everyone should do. Because there is a correct technique. And as Brian had shared in his story that he did it so long ago, I also did it like 13 years ago. So like And yes, you could totally get a refresher and kind of reach back out to your voc rehab. But then also, such a good point too on like side to guide training, that there is definitely a proper way, and like being able to share that with your loved ones. I think those are two key things that are really important. So thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah.
I think
I
another
have.
point too. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just a little story. This woman who's a friend of mine who's works for DSB, helping people with life skills when they first become blind. She was saying that this one of her clients was in like a retirement group home, and they were leading her around by a like a like by a rope because they didn't understand how to guide somebody who's blind. It's just, it's kind of sad. Sometimes even professionals don't always know how to help people.
That's a good point, Tess. I think this kind of topic that we're talking about a little bit was mentioned on another call, LHON call recently, that I didn't really think about, that I just thought people who have full sight within our world, our LHON world, just kind of do what they need to for us based on what they see we need. But you mentioned something that you need to ask sometimes. Sometimes people don't always know what you do and what you don't need. And for example, you could be with one family member who is providing too much support, overly, and being too helpful. Whereas you could have another person who, like you said, that you miss a step and they don't say anything, or they're walking way ahead of you and they're not providing enough support. So I think that's something for us who are currently affected by LHON and vision loss to be mindful of is. And that's always, that has been hard for me, and I've gotten better with it over the years. It's asking for what you need and asking for the help when you need it. I've had people grab my arm and pull me, and it, it doesn't feel comfortable. You can get hurt that way. You can both fall. And then sometimes it's just like it's more of educating them if they're willing to do that. And how to do that, it's just, I guess knowing that person, the best way to tell them, hey, this is how I need your help right now, or something of that nature.
Totally.
Good.
I think I'll pause here and open it up to anyone that has kind of questions on Brian's story or also wants to share their story and maybe like a little tidbit of their cane journey.
Brian Lorenzo here in Connecticut. I've been using my white cane the last 2 years pretty steadily. Anytime I leave the house, I make it a routine to, grab my spare key, grab the cane, grab whatever it is that when I leave the house, if I was on my own, if I'm going with family members or whatever. And I've gotten used to it. I bought a light that attaches onto an LED light for Maxi, someone help me out here.
Maxi
Maxi
Thank you,
aids.
Maxi Aids. And the light is incredible. Everyone loves the light. When I'm going out there using a light, it does help. It gives you contrast when it gets dark, especially in the wintertime and or late at night. And that's been a big assistance. So I promote that. I think it's a great thing. And like you said, it's a way of communicating without getting into that stories. And it's so true. And there's so many beautiful people out there that really want to help and that are. They ask you, what can I do? Or they hold the door open for you, and it just makes you feel good too. So I've gotten over that. It's saying not an embarrassment for me. It's definitely, it's a tool, it's an aid. So quick story is that about a month and a half ago, I had went to an event, and it was held in a firehouse afterwards for a get together. And it's accessibility place. It's got it's on the second floor. It's got all the proper railings. It's got redone, and it's got the chair lit, everything you could think of. So I go up there and have my white cane with me. I put it down in one room, one floor room, and I'm fine. Same thing I said, depending on your need. And I had to go to a little boy's room, and big guy does not want to fall. I forget to grab my cane. It's a new place, never been there. And they said, yeah, it's just around the corner. So I had went ahead without the cane. Went up a couple of steps. Okay, mental mapping, right? Mental mapping. This is, I got to remember this. I go a little further. There's the men's room. There's another half step. Oh, mental mapping. Get in. As I'm walking out, totally forget about that half step. Literally, it's a small step. And Humpty Dumpty went down. And yeah, I was like, here you go. The one time I forget it, I really needed it, So especially in a new setting. Brushed myself out, had a little bruise on the knee and everything, and didn't rip my suit, which I was grateful for. And that reminded me again, especially when you're out someplace you're not used to being. Again, around the house, I don't use it, but when I leave the property, it's with me. But that was a good reminder, a little bruising.
Good story, Lorenzo, and
Yeah,
thank you
great.
for sharing that. And that's a good point. Like I was saying earlier, there's going to be times when you get up from the table and you're just like, I got to use the restroom, and you're like, oh, I forgot it, and you can't beat yourself up about it. You just got to move on, and okay, I'll grab it next time. And yeah, so good. Okay.
I think that's a great example of how, with limited vision, you can become overconfident. And
I've had one friend of mine that was just being stubborn and didn't take his cane with him and decided that he could go catch the train in Denver and walked off the platform. And it didn't work out very well. And then there have been times where I thought I was going to be okay. And like the story about the missing the step, it can sometimes it can take just one step. And I default to using my cane for everything unless I'm in an area that's I'm extremely familiar, even though maybe I would be okay, but why take the chance?
Yeah. So I
So
have a
true.
little story that's a kind of a happy story about a cane use. So I have this route that I take through my familiar town, about 25-minute walk from my building, skyscraper, only skyscraper in Bellingham, that has my therapist to my gym. And so it's a regular route that I always bring my cane along so I can, make sure I know where I am at any time. But one time there was a construction going on across the street, and because I had my cane, a lady came over from the construction crew and guided me around the construction that would have been just totally, it would to it totally blocked the sidewalk for like a block there maybe or something. It seemed like quite a ways she had to guide me around it. So if I hadn't had my cane, if I was, somehow just making do with knowing the route, that would have been a very different situation.
Yeah, it's a really good reminder. What about now called stories of like, what about new places and just kind of being able to I was like, Paul, can I totally call you out? Like as Paul's was like, Paul, can I call you out?
You can call me out. Call me out.
I was like, welcome in. Paul, walk us, you're kind of, you've also have a different cane story that I think would be really valuable to share here too.
So this is Paul Laurie from Northern California, where I currently live. But it's probably going to be temporary because our home in Northern California is for sale right now, and we've purchased a new home in San Diego. So we'll be moving there soon, and I'm quite familiar with San Diego because I spent a good portion of my life down there, and but I'm moving back to a moving to a community that didn't exist when I lived in San Diego. So it's new. So so right now I would call myself a situational white cane user. I've been affected for 7 years. I'm 63 years old, and but I'm pretty, I'm fitness walking is a big part of my fitness activity. So when I leave the home and I do, a 4.5 mile walk on weekdays, I don't use a white cane. And mainly it's like things like Brian said and others have said on the call that I'm very familiar with the route. I loved Lorenzo's description of what I think we all do is the mental memory thing. I kind of have always been that way, and it certainly is something that is become a priority now since I've been, since I've been affected. So the thing I've been thinking a lot about, with all the hundreds of things that go into relocating and the logistics of moving, but is, okay, so do I just, start using the white cane, more full time when I leave this new home, which, we're going into condo living from being in a single family, home situation in Northern California. And, one, because I'm really not familiar with this area, especially as I tra you know, as I walk to say a grocery store or to some type of commercial area, which is going to be, crossing some significant lanes of traffic. So I think for sure if I'm alone, I would definitely use the white cane. But navigating around this, this community and the park that's attached to it, I probably could get familiar with it right away. but it's the people, you know, it's like, I feel like it's almost more beneficial, like Brian was saying, for others who may, you know, be meeting me for the first time. And anyway, what I'm saying, I think, is I would love to throw it out to, you know, to the attendees tonight to see if anybody, you know, has faced this in a, you know, relocating situation, and maybe, you know, what they've done. And, yeah, that's where I'm at.
So what I would say is I relocated and didn't use a cane and realized that nobody had any clue that I couldn't see. And many people I've subsequently found out just thought I was rude. Cause you know, there was a wave from a distance. They think you see them and they have no idea. So I wholeheartedly would suggest, at least when you first go, using the cane so people realize that you can't see. Because yeah. The other alternative is like, if they're being friendly from a distance and think you can see, they think you're rude, you know? And it's a lesson I've learned the hard way, because I only found out, like, subsequently when, you know, talking to other neighbors, when they realized that I couldn't see, they said, oh, I didn't know you couldn't see. I thought you just were either oblivious or rude. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, John, this is Paul again, and that's a great – I mean, that's a great point, because I remember that was a big worry of mine the first, you know, like in the first couple of years of being affected. I was like, please don't, you know, you realize that I'm not going to be able to see you when you drive by, or even if you're walking by. And I'm like explaining myself to, you know, all the neighbors that I knew in the area after I became affected.
And now you're moving with neighbors that don't even know you.
Yes, they don't even know me. This is sort of high density living too. I mean, I'm going to be encountering probably a lot more people in this community than I do in the, you know, suburban neighborhood that I live in now.
Probably true. The condo. Yeah. Yeah.
Or when you run into someone again and you don't recognize them because you can't place their voice.
Especially if I meet them at the pool, you know, or in the gym or something, you know, like,
Well, it might be, what I would suggest, and might be a good way to get to know people too, is that you don't go out too much on your own at first, but you learn the ways by going with somebody else, just like you do in mobility training. You know, you learn a path with somebody and then you can do it on your own.
But still carry the cane though, because you need to let people know you can't see. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. Hmm.
One of the things that happened when I just moved to this apartment, and I don't have a partner, so I just fly solo a ton of the time. So I had my cane with me, and sometimes I didn't. But like probably the first week when I was there, I'd be like, someone would introduce themselves and they're like, hey, my name is Sam, and are you new to the building? And I'm like, totally new. I'm like, hey, I'm Jessica. I'm visually impaired. You may see me with a cane, you may not. But if you could see your name when you see me, that's awesome. And I did that for the first week. And now I've been here for 3 years, and they're like, hey, Jessica, Sam, have a good day. And I'm like, oh, that is amazing. And I only said it to like, I feel like a handful. And then I stopped, which I'm like, dang it. Because now the 5-10 people I told to do that to, they still do it. I just saw another person when I was walking. Cause I'm walking down the sidewalk happily, have no idea what's really in front of me. And they're like, hey, Jessica, it's Sam. And, she was kind of out of my view anyways, but it was such a good, and she actually, now she tells everyone whenever she's in the elevator, and she's like, Jessica told me something so valuable when she first moved here. She told me like, it's really helpful if you say hello and what your name is. And they're like, it made me feel more like, as in Sam said, it made her feel more comfortable because then she knew how to like address me to make sure that she knew I was there. So it's also a comfort level for her.
Well, and she might not have talked to you otherwise because she wouldn't know.
Totally,
That's a good idea.
I guess I must have said that to so many people now that everyone says that now.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I try to do that, but it seems like so many people forget. And then I'm like feeling like I don't remember who you are, but yeah.
Start giving them a funny look like, oh, gosh, because I'll go out like. You would think I would have faces and voices, or you think I'd have voices and names down by now, but still no. What was your name again? And I kind of make a joke and make light of it, but that was really helpful.
I was going to say, Jessica, it's Julie from Long Beach, and Paul and Jessica, thank you. Or thank you for your question, Paul. Jessica, thank you for your answer. I'm like, this is like literally making me think like I need to pull my cane out today going home. Because I'm like, I like only a couple people see me because I'm like, I know the lay of the land of my building. So why would I use it there?
Yes. But they might be waving and you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, I literally just like giving him a smirk or a look away.
You know, I really appreciate that. I think, you know, just saying off the bat because I enjoy it because it's a new chance to let everybody know, like, I see well, but saying like, hey, can you tell me your name first is pretty awesome. Because that is a huge help. And I still get like anxious when I go back to my old hometown, like just because I know there's people who don't know that I don't see well. And like you guys were saying, that fear of like, I don't want to look like I'm rude or like I didn't wave back kind of thing. And yeah, so I think I like that, you know, moving to a new place, you have the opportunity, everybody knows you that way, but also to, yeah, tell me your name first. I think that's great.
Yeah, new beginnings.
Yeah, I'll do the Stevie. I'll do the Stevie. If I don't have my cane in that room at the moment with me, I'll do the Stevie Wonder if I can't see who it is.
The look above.
What's that? Yep.
Look above, look around.
Yeah. Gotcha, Lorenzo.
It works. It's weird, but it works.
Just kind of roll your eyes around like you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
You're not focusing on anything.
It is.
Wait, and I think like there's so much positive to using the white cane, and especially sorry for the guys, but I call it a blind girl bonus. So blind guy bonus too. And so I think there's, and especially for alertness and awareness, I was like, now that I know Julie's here, I'm like, Julie, can I tap you in on like airports? You just like fly through, but like,
yeah, 'cause
you're kind of a situational cane user too, right? But
I am 100% in a situationship with my cane. right? We see each other sometimes, but only when I want to.
Yeah.
No, but 100%. I mean, I was like, oh, I like never, ever, ever wanted to touch it and hated it and never wanted it to be a part of my life. But now I'm in such a better place because I'm the same as Paul, 7 years. And like at this point, 2 weekends ago, I went to Mexico for a bachelorette, but flew by myself. So I like landed at the airport. And man, like there's nothing quite like landing somewhere where you do not speak the language, cannot see. Like it was like a walk-off plane too, so I was like, oh god. So then I'm like, okay, cane for sure, definitely the cane, which was good, right, for being by myself. But then I went through like the first line of security and was able to like text my friends and meet up with them, so then I like don't have it out because I'm walking around with them, like they're guiding me. But then we looked over and I don't know what it was about. I guess it was the holiday weekend in January in Puerto Vallarta because the line was massive. Like they were like, it's going to take us an hour and a half to get through this line to get out. And so I like looked at my friends and I was like, should I? And they were like, absolutely. So I like pulled out the cane, walked up to the gentleman that was like yelling something in Spanish. And he like looks at me, sees the cane and just like said, come on. And then walked through, took all of us right through the entire crowd, walked us to the whole front, cut through like at least an hour of waiting. And we like walked through and I like looked at them and I was like, I love guiding my sighted friends around.
The benefits of it, you know, are pretty good.
That's
sometimes.
Awesome.
You know, it helps. They were like, oh man. Like they were like, we love that you're good with it now. And I was like, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I mean, being blind's hard. You might as well get some bonuses from it.
Yeah,
exactly.
When I lost my sight in my second eye, I was in the hospital for 3 weeks for a procedure that they were hoping would help, and it didn't end up helping. But in the meantime, we had to cancel a flight because we had a trip planned for spring break, and then we had to cancel it again because I was in the hospital longer than I expected. And so there was a lot of using that going blind excuse, and it worked out pretty well for us, actually. When they first credited the credit, then when they second credited the credit, they actually gave us both those credits the third time we had to change it. So we ended up paying roughly not that much different than we'd originally paid for the flight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Last minute. And then they're very nice about giving you special seating for vision impairment too.
That's true. What else? Who
hey,
else
Jessica?
Have a good?
Hey, Jessica, yes. It's Maria. I got on late. I'm so sorry. Maria from San Diego. Talking about airports. I saw someone do a reel once about sometimes acting more blind than you really are in situations like TSA, so that you kind of walk through with your cane, and just to get them to like act as nice as possible, you kind of just don't look them in the face. You kind of look around, you know, they're taking your cane from you and they're guiding you through, and they're just a little extra nice and a little extra gentle with you because they think, oh my God, she's blind, she's blind, she's blind. I'm like, I'll work the blind card right here. And hard. And then you get through and they're like, ma'am, come over here, come over here. So sometimes you might act a little more blind than you really are just because it's a benefit. I don't know. Anyone else? Anyone?
No, 100%, right? Because you're like, well, I don't want you to think I'm completely fine because I cannot see these signs. Like, I need the help.
Yes. Yes, because they're like, stand on those 2 feet, you know, to do the scanning. And I'm like, you know, so I'm like, I can't, you know, which instead of me acting a fool, like I can't really do it because I can't see it. I just go, I can't. Someone's got to help. And they're like, oh, never mind. Come here. And they'll just wand me. And so, you know, sometimes it just kind of gets that way. And then one other benefit is that one thing that I do tell people is not have to do with airports, but it could. If you're walking around without your cane and you're, say, at a grocery store or at a Starbucks at the airport and you're with a partner and they're reading you, say, the menu or what's in the case or maybe what salads are, you know, in the case and you don't have your cane, people can be so rude because they're going, why don't they move? Why don't they hurry along? Why is he reading that all to her? And you have nothing indicating you can't see. But when you have your cane with you, people do not bother you. They don't try to go, excuse me. They leave you alone because they see your cane and they go, oh, that's why he's reading her all of the copies or what's in the pastry case, things like that. So it can be a benefit to be out and about other places, not just the airport, so that people don't, they still bother you. They're nice about it, and they're not trying to cut in or thinking you're wasting their time. And that we have seen that in action both ways. And people can be really, really rude when they don't understand why you aren't getting out of the way and you're taking too long. So there's another hot tip. Take the cane. Just take the cane.
Yeah, it's definitely like a respect thing. Like it's, I mean, they're respectful of once they understand. And I think then it's, but kind of just full circle of the conversation of like, just us respecting the cane, you know, like there's a time and place, and whether it's to our benefit, as we've talked about here, but also like, I'm just going to bring it back that like, there is totally a safety aspect, that I just don't want to lose sight of how important the cane is, and it's different for everyone. I do also want to share, go ahead, Brian.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to share a funny story with Marie and I. I think we both were barely affected. I was probably affected maybe a year. Maria was affected maybe 6 months. We were pretty new in, but we both had ID canes because we were just kind of in our journey and not quite ready, but knowing the importance of a cane. So we had ID canes, but it's one of my very first pictures I have with Maria. We had like, we made my mom do a full photo shoot with us, or of us, not, she was not in the pictures. She was taking our picture. And me and Maria just kind of like, and it was our way of embracing the cane by doing a photo shoot. And that was our one step closer. And gosh, I would say if you see us at conference and we got those things, we got our canes out. So it's pretty funny to see how far we've come.
Yeah. We were pretty bad.
If I had a cane with me a week ago Monday, when I landed in Harrisburg, I would not have tripped over an invisible bench.
Oh.
Okay.
That's true.
Those darn
I'm gonna think twice about not bringing a cane next time I travel. So.
Yeah.
You know, safety. What? Get a folded one. Keep it in your bag. I used to do that. I would carry it around in my bag.
I've just been faking it so long, you know. So
yeah, I gotcha.
So, Brian, that's probably a good topic. There are so many different canes out there for different situation uses. Go ahead, and anybody expand on that. There is a lot out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to explore it. Probably that's what I should do.
Yeah. Well, there's
I had cane training 60 years ago. So I mean, that tells you a couple things. One, I'm old. And I really haven't used it, so.
So does everybody here use, I mean, the kind I use has a marshmallow tip and it folds into four parts like a tent, like a, you know, like a tent, if you know what I mean.
That's similar to what I use. I think my cane's a little longer, so it folds into more sections, but I use a rolling marshmallow tip. But I think it's a good point that Jessica pointed out is, it's different for everyone. You get to your own journey the way you get to it. But I think something else to point out is important is to connect and embrace with people in this community when you need to. I'm sure a good amount of these people you could connect with them on a one-on-one basis and be able to ask questions. I mean, when I started using my cane more often, when I fold it up and say I'm out to dinner and I'm at a table, I was thinking to myself, where do I put this thing? Do I put it underneath my chair? Do I put it behind my back in the chair? Do I put it on the chair next to me? Where do I put it? And I was at one event and somebody said to me, just put it on the table. And I said, in my head, I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. This thing has been on the ground. That's not very sanitary. So, figuring that out. Also, another thing is I said to myself, I said, well, should I clean the thing? Like, should I wipe it down with a disinfectant wipe every once in a while? The bottom of it's touching the ground, but asking those silly questions that, pop in your head about the cane or other things that come up with LHON. Those things were things I was just thinking about, but I just, figured them out and did them the way that best worked for me. I do wipe my cane down once in a while with a, disinfectant wipe. That's just me. Because I figure, the bottom part of it is on the ground most of the time. And when you fold it up, sometimes your hand touches that. And, sometimes it falls on the ground. I usually, when I go out to dinner or something like that, I usually either tuck it behind my back in my chair, or I'll sit on it with one of my thighs. Or if I have a chair available next to me, I'll usually put it on that chair. I have seen some blind people, they'll put it underneath their chair. I just feel like if it gets kicked around by accident, then I can't find it after the fact. So I like it where either I can grab it or I can feel it on my body while I'm sitting there.
Yeah, I always feel paranoid about forgetting it or having somebody trip on it if I put it in the wrong spot.
Yeah, I've walked up from a table at dinner and started walking out of the restaurant without it. And, whoever's with me, they're like, your cane, you forgot it. Or they'll grab it and say, here's your cane. But, it just depends on who I'm with. Some people, it's us knowing our circle of people and asking for what we need. But also, those people that'll let you be out of, outside of the restaurant and realize you forgot your cane, or those people who pick it up for you when you are walking out without it,
Yeah, maybe a good tip is to put your phone number on it in masking tape or something.
Good point. Good point. I didn't think about that. There's collapsible canes, white canes. I mean, there's so much out there. Some of them are good, some of them are not as good. But I picked up a collapsible one too, which is great when you go out to dinner someplace and you're inside most of the time. The tips are different, and you can put it in your back pocket too. It's much easier to carry around. The different tips, there's a 360 tip, a round ball tip, the marshmallow. It's really incredible what's out there. Holsters you can put it in if you wear a belt. There is a lot out.
That's a good point. I used to keep one in my work bag that I would take with me to work every day, like a backpack. And then it graduated to me carrying it around. I would tuck it underneath of my arm and carry it around like that. It was gradual at times.
Yeah, I think if you get used to it, then you don't worry about forgetting it in a restaurant, like walking away from it. The other fun thing is, I use mine all the time, but walking around downtown in the city and then having it go through the puddles and everything and then folding it up, You have to be really careful of what the ball collects because it'll dump a bunch of water onto your hand if you don't expect it.
Yeah. I don't remember there ever being that many tip options when I first got a cane 50 something years ago, but I have to look into that.
especially when I realized that one of the gigs I played a couple of years ago, it was out in the grass field, which has a lot of bumps and things, I cannot see the depths and
yeah.
Like that. Yeah. And they have a large round ball and it's a larger red ball that rolls 360. And right away I could feel the difference with it. I felt a little more secure that it would catch, catch.
Yeah. I have to look into those. Cause I've never seen one of those other than I've heard you guys all talk about them.
So you found that works better for outdoors than a marshmallow tip? Cause a lot of times when walking outdoors, it feels like the marshmallow tip isn't very helpful, so I don't tend to use it.
Yeah.
Like if I'm on a trail or something.
It'll be much better because it's a lot more surface as they're larger, so you'll feel the ball drop. You'll feel the tip drop quicker because it's a larger ball, larger. It's a larger differential, so it does work.
Larger surface, yeah.
Yes, ah. Larger surface
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It rolls beautifully over the grass where the marshmallow would get stuck on me when I tried that. Maxi Aids, and there's other places there. Just make sure whatever tip you know the cane that you have, the tip that goes on. Some screw in, some are a band that pulls out it with a hook. That's the one thing you need to make sure of is what you're ordering. It's the same, it'll fit that one there.
Oh, so you can swap them out, is what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, you don't have to buy
them. Yeah, that's what you're implying. You can swap them out.
You can swap them out.
Yeah, as long as they go on the same way. Yeah, I got you.
Correct. So make sure that's
the one. And the marshmallow tips wear down. They wear down after time.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's
recommended to replace them.
Yeah.
They only have rubber tips. They always break off at the worst time.
So I don't know. Oh. What do I know? I'm ignorant.
No. We learn.
So replace it before it breaks off, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I've avoided using one for a very long time. So
once it breaks off, it's at the worst time. And now you've just got the end of the cane that's just a bare tip, which is terrible.
And it doesn't even look like a white blind cane person. So then you're just.
Now, what about question? Oh, go ahead, someone.
No, I was just going to mention I did actually travel somewhere not long ago, and it was I left my house super early in the morning with my wife and got in an Uber and went right to the airport, and then realized on the way to the airport that I had left my cane at my house, and it was fortunate that once we got where we were going, I just called one of the local, blind services organizations, and they were able to provide a cane with, right when I got there, which was really nice. So like that's always available too.
A Lions Club or something?
No, else? I can't remember what it was. A local organization. It wasn't Lions Club though, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. I didn't even realize Lions Club was specifically focused on helping people that have vision issues, but I mean, I should have probably, but just didn't really think about that until recently.
Yeah, they have a lot of, I went through Lions Club here locally in Connecticut, and they provided training and stuff through with your insurance, of course, and they would provide any new or used assistant and bump dots and glasses or whatever they could provide, readers and things like that they had, they would refurbish and pass it on. They were really good. And the other thing is the National Federation for the Blind, NFB, will give you a free cane if you were to call them up. So that's another thing.
This is Kimberly. I have a story to share. I run a program of seniors that have lost their vision. And I teach them, even when they go human guide, to still use their cane to protect their bodies. Because I was boating with some friends and we jumped out of the boat to go into like the little store that's on the dock. And I thought, I'm just going to go human guide with her. I'm going to leave my cane in the boat. Well, she ran me right into a thigh high table and had bruises there for a week because I didn't protect myself with my cane. So I always try to teach my seniors that You are in charge of your body. They're not. They're in charge of themselves, and accidents happen, you know?
Kimberly, it's Julie. I will say the same on the same trip I just went on. I have phenomenal friends who are nothing but helpful. And my poor friend was walking me, guiding me for so long and missed one stool that I now say just attacked me. But I've had a scab, like a 4 week, 5 week coming on, like scabbed. Like they had to clean it with alcohol and like it was bleeding. And she felt so bad. But to your point, it's not.
They're not used to looking out for you.
Really good point. But
they're not trained for that, and that's not their job. Yeah. they're trying to help, but that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
So
the moral of the story is same thing can happen on steps.
Steps are the worst.
They forget to tell you the last one or the first one, and you miss that step. Yeah, that's not good either.
Does anyone do that thing where you say like, "You're there" at the last step? Oh, someone taught me that. I don't remember where I even learned it, but all of my friends have learned to say like, "I'm there, you're there" when I reach like a landing step, like the last one.
Oh,
it's helpful.
I have people say to me, "Flat," like flat, one more, okay, and then flat.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I must have seen it. Yeah, they always say like, "I'm there, you're there," and I must have learned it from maybe from my own M trainer, actually, I think, because then they picked it up and have always said it so that like I know they're at the landing. You're like, "I'm there, you're there," so I know it's like the next one. Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I run with guides, but I still would use my cane even when we're walking around after we run, like together. Well, like if we walk around the city, you know, together. Even though we've just run maybe miles together, I would still pull out my cane just because I don't want them to be responsible for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important.
Another thing I did was I was at Sam's Club shopping around, looking at the clothes, and then I turned and thought it was a mannequin and grabbed the person. And she's like, "I hope it was good for you as it was for me." You know? I'm blind, you know. Just the silly things.
Oh. At least you weren't expecting the mannequin to guide you.
Right? Oh, I could have been, but no.
Arm comes off, you start walking with the arm in arm, and the body's
down. Oh, that's hilarious, for sure. I had one senior that was so proud of and not wanting to use that cane. Christmas Eve, after dinner, not using it, and that the bump thing that stops the cars from going past that little section, he tripped over it. Ended up in the hospital overnight. So it's like, it's our eyes. That cane is our eyes at this point. And
The parking hurdles, those are the worst. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a real word, but that's the biggest one. My friends always say, parking hurdle.
Parking hurdle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but they're dangerous.
Yeah, they're dangerous because they're the same color as the ground.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
There's no contrast.
Yeah.
Well, that was my problem with the bench.
Yeah.
The bench was gray. The cement was gray.
And then they attack you.
The sun was shining. And I tripped right over it. Everybody thought I died.
They don't realize how resilient we are.
Actually, unfortunately, it was really cold. So my pants are pretty thick. I didn't really have a little bit of bruises, but nothing terrible. Didn't bleed. But my sister was mortified though, because she's like, she was calling me to come in her direction. And she didn't see the bench either. And my brother-in-law was merciless, telling her it was her fault. It was so much fun. No, I'm just kidding. Uh-oh. I survived. I've survived many other things that I've tripped over in my life. So stumps.
So what about, so we got some veterans on here. I'm like, what's up, veterans? But there are also some new to LH1. Anything, any tips or tricks people would share? I mean, we talked about canes, various types, cane types, holsters, obviously the bonus of safety and kind of, and the set of guides. What other things would people wish they would have done
like, so they could, they too wouldn't have that. I also have a bruise story to be able to share, that I plowed into a fire hydrant, and I had that bruise for like solid four weeks, and I was walking with my mom. I'm like, thanks, mom. But I wish I would have had my cane. Anything else though that would be really helpful for us to be able to share out, especially to anyone new?
If you're walking, so my wife will go out and stuff. It's actually easier when she's walking in front of me. That gives me a next indication. If she drops, you know, like when she's walking, and it's easier one-on-one versus we're side by side, which we will do. But when you're in a busy area, it is easier if you're following someone, from following somebody, if you're with somebody. I've realized that or seen the help.
And the cane is doing its job when it touches things. So if it touches a person, don't say sorry. Say hello. You know?
Ooh, I like that.
I thought you were supposed to say, get out of my way. No, I'm just kidding.
That too. Next.
I'm just kidding. But you're right. Say hello. Say hello. How are you?
Yeah.
I've had people my cane got tucked in, like, this is Maria, got tucked in between their feet. I was just walking along. It was kind of a crazy concert venue. And she actually turned around and she's like, oh my God. And my cane was literally between her feet. And the look, my partner was like, the look on her face was, watch out. So I went way blind. And I started rattling my cane between her legs like nobody's business. And she's like, oh my God. You know, and I'm like, you know what? Canes hurt ankles too. So I was, and finally she got stepped over it. But I just was like, oh, we're going to play. We're going to play right now. So yeah, I've had those moments too.
I can imagine.
Not proud of it.
I can imagine Jim enjoying that.
Oh, yeah. So that was the moment where I've had people literally, like, my cane is like parkour. They're not looking, whoa, all of a sudden see it. They're doing backflips over the cane kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes people, they just step right into it. And I usually go, oh, sorry. Like, I was sorry.
Well, they forget it's their responsibility to look where they're going.
Exactly. Everyone's looking at their phones these days. Everyone. Mm-hmm. So they're looking down at a phone, they don't see it, and they get tripped up in the cane, and I have to stop myself from apologizing, but I'm like, no, wait, you know, I'm not apologizing. You know, and then you run up against someone in a wheelchair and you're with the cane, and it's kind of, who's going to get out of whose way? Like, what do you do? It's a problem. So usually I move, and then people kind of go, wait, how did she see the guy in the wheelchair? But I'm like, it's okay. It's fine. You go ahead. So
I have ESP. You don't know the extra sensory perception they give you when you're blind.
Exactly. I can detect the wheelchair. But so sometimes you just have to have a little spicy with it, you know, so people learn their lesson. Just saying.
How many times do you guys listen for another cane and all of a sudden you're like, oh, is that a white cane? You know, you're asking somebody around you and like, is it, because all of us know each other, right? No. But it's still pretty cool when you do hear that a cane out in the distance of someone else being independent.
I'm going to reach out to call out Howard because you were inspiration for me to push on to learn that a couple years ago. So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Lorenzo. I started using the cane immediately, and I don't leave home without it.
So I was going to say I don't think I've ever run into another visually impaired person on the street that was using a cane, other than my sibling, who's also legally blind. So I don't know. I don't know if I randomly run into anybody.
I haven't run into them, but I've definitely heard that cane, and then I'll ask my husband, was that a white cane? And they'll, yep, several times.
Where do you live?
Arizona.
Like a big city, or?
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Just a couple weeks ago in Costco. Well,
that increases there was another guy that he and I worked in the same building together that he was completely blind since birth, and he and I would meet for lunch, and that's how we would find each other a lot of times. he'd hear my cane, I'd hear his cane. That's how we'd run into each other. But yeah, so, and yeah, I run into people every now and then.
Interesting.
This is John in Connecticut. I have to thank Lorenzo and Howard, because I guess I'm a late bloomer, being affected for over 50 years, 54 years. Finally, last summer, I got in touch with the Connecticut mobility guy, who was terrific. So I now, after all these years, have a white cane. Like Julie, Paul, a lot of people on this call, very situational about it. And it, you know, I think of it more for my protection if I'm in an area that I don't know, all the things that folks have been talking about on the call. But the identification by other people is really a big one. Particularly if I'm traveling or, you know, places I'm not familiar with. So thanks to Howard and Lorenzo. You guys kind of encouraged me on some of those Northeast calls, prompted me to give a call to the blind services here.
Yeah. You're all encouraging me after 60 years to go get another cane.
Never too late, even for late bloomers.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. I had one, but who knows where it is now? I mean, it was like, you know, 50 years ago.
They're lighter now, John. They're much lighter.
Oh, they're lighter now. They have different tips.
They're fancy
now. They literally just had like a rubber, like you know, in 1975, they just had like a rubber tip on the end of them. They really.
Yeah, it's not that good. There, as Lorenzo said, there are many different kinds in the
special. Yeah, now there's too many decisions to make. I don't know if I can make any of those decisions. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I will get one for traveling. In my neighborhood. Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe just let the neighbors know I can't see. Even though I walk out to my mailbox and put magnifying glasses on so I can read the mail. I try to give them a hint, but you know, you never know.
All right. Any last tips and tricks? Then we're going to move on to news.
News.
Wow. It's a new segment.
Ooh. News you can use?
Exactly. Well, I don't know if there's a better way to segment. I mean, let's just roll into the news. And so this is one of the things that we had talked about between news and conferences, just kind of keeping us all on the up and up of like different things that are happening in our community. Without me memorizing, I'm just going to like call on people to ask me to help out with some of the news. So listen, I know there's a GenSight, right? GenSight?
Oh, you're referring to, I think we were just talking on a science call recently about how there was a press release that GenSight is gearing up to do some additional testing on their gene therapy product. But it probably doesn't apply to anyone on this call because it's only happening over in France.
Okay.
But it's still something that's happening. And so it's interesting
to know.
It's interesting to know. They're going to... Yeah. They're going to recruit 14 people, and they're going to try two dose levels that are each higher than the dose level they used in the gene therapy trials that they did here in the U.S. and Europe and elsewhere. Yeah, they're gearing up for that. And so that was sort of a topic of interest.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Lisa. Next up for news is some updates on Idebenone. Patrick, can I go to you for Idebenone?
So I think most of us know that Idebenone got a priority review by the FDA back, I think, last fall for them to prioritize whether it will be approved in the United States. And from the news sources I've seen, the target date for them to make a decision is later this month, actually, like February 28th, I believe. And depending on what that decision is, you know, there may be some implications for people in our community who want to take Idebenone. You know, could be good, could not be. I mean, immediately, like if it gets approved, it seems to me that there's a chance that the pharma company that owns rights to it could, you know, send a cease and desist letter to the internet sources where we get Idebenone from presently, since it's not approved by the FDA. And, you know, that may affect supply, it seems. You know, who knows? I don't know, but it seems like there could be a national implication. Another one would be, like, if it gets approved, like, what the cost is going to be, because then it would be approved drug by the FDA, and the pharma company, you know, could potentially charge prices like those that are charged in Europe. And I guess another question would be, like,
but,
you know,
but insurance, like, right, by Patrick, then?
Well, that, I guess that's the next question, is, like, is insurance going to cover it?
Yeah.
And how much and for how long?
Yeah.
I think in Europe it's covered for like 2 years and then stops. So who knows what's going to happen here if it gets approved? But it does seem like there are some things to think about if that approval goes through.
Still lots of questions. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're, I got the place where I ordered it from, FXer? Shoot.
FNX.
Sent me a notice. Yes, thank you.
That's not the place. I think that's the product, right?
That's the product. I'm sorry.
FNX is Idebenone mixed with vitamin C.
Vitamin C. That's the brand. And from where I bought it from, the distributor had indicated, I posted that too, that, you know, same thing, end of February and stuff, that, you know, if you want to get a supply, because you don't know how they're going to apply the rules, how they're going to say if you're, you know, if you've been affected more in a couple of years, that it's not going to be covered by insurance. It could be very high to get. So it's a, it's a thought that people have to run by and see before this takes an effect.
Totally. All right. Thank you for our news updates. And last but not least, we are going to roll into the calls that are happening in February. So we are here at LH1 Live. Next call is spouses or partners of LH1 affected. And that is on Tuesday, February 17th. At 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call is dads of LH1 affected kids. And remember, kids is all of all ages. And that's on a Wednesday, February 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific. And last but not least for February, it's the LH1 assistive technology call. And that's back on, and that's on Monday, February 25th at 5 p.m. Pacific. And the call topic for March's LH1 Live is gardening, and we are brought to you by LH1 veteran gardener and outdoorsman Chris Lawton. So we are looking forward to that call. Super quick correction.
Yes. Assistive tech is Monday the 23rd. I heard you say the 25th, and I want to make sure everyone knows it's the 23rd Monday.
Thank you very much.
Gardening.
What'd you say?
I said gardening.
Gardening. Yeah, gardening.
That was
a hot topic from January. We have if you are a gardener or would like to learn and or have tips as well, please make sure to join. We're having it actually in March, so everyone's in full prep for spring planting. So I'm excited. So that's kind of main topic.
I have to tell you that it was a blind man that first showed me how to cut down a tree. So
see? Yeah. Lots of options.
There's a story there, but we'll leave that for now.
Save it for March. Well, we look forward to seeing you. We're gonna, if you don't mind, Liz, if you could pause or stop the recording, we will roll into the